This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Wow, what a morning. Well, this is Ryan Wiggins here on the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk. I'll be filling in today, as we said yesterday. I will be here for the whole 3 hours, and I will not mention anything like Wiggins America, unless Brad wants to play my stinger at the beginning of every single segment to make me feel comfortable.
You're the host today, so we can do that.
Let's do that. Certainly, let's play it at 12:45, and then I'll do a Wiggins America segment on me hosting the Annie Fry Show. That'd be okay.
Like Inception.
You're right. We're going to have some fun today, and I will tell you this. It was a weird meeting. I had a meeting going in, and there's some breaking news I want to get to here in 60 seconds, but just indulge me for a second. There was a meeting that I had right before this show that the higher-ups brought me to their office, and they said, Ryan, this is the Wednesday before a holiday. We know you're capable. We know that it's going to be a good show. Just kind of relax. Rest on your laurels. And I said, no. I pounded my fist on the desk, and I said, no. I am not going to rest on my laurels. I am not going to phone it in today. The people deserve better. Brad, I want you to know, put that on the record, that management told me
that the people deserve better?
And that the people deserve better, because they might not even know. So we have a great show. It seriously is so packed, and I want to respect your time. I know that you're probably not going to listen to the whole 3 hours. If you are, great. We are streaming today. If you can, listen from two of the three, that's great. We won't waste your time. But here's some appointments for you. In the next segment, there's a civil rights attorney, and I'm not talking about an ACLU-type civil rights attorney. I'm talking about a real one, Aaron Seary. He is suing the FDA. There's a headline that maybe you've run across it. It's not getting a whole lot of attention. The FDA is attempting to prevent any information on the Pfizer vaccine from going public until the year 2076. Why? Why is the FDA doing that? So we're going to talk to him next. So stick around for that. That's an appointment to set. Here's another one. At 107, Trent Luce is a rancher. He's a food guy. He's kind of an on-the-ground, like, I don't want to call him a food advocate. That sounds really, like, hippie. But he's the guy who's connected to both, like, the government and ranchers and farmers.
Agricultural advocate.
He's an intermediate between the two, and he just knows everything going on. He sounded the alarm bells back over the summer when I was filling in for Annie. We had him on about China buying up our land.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get an update from him on that at 107, and because there's been legislation moving through Congress, and I want to find out where it's at. But then also, inflation. Why is food going up at such a fast rate? From the farmer's perspective, from the source. Let's talk about that at 107. And then Peter Navarro, you've probably heard that name before. Big name. I've talked to him a couple times on my weekend show. I'm actually going to play back the interview we just did with him last week. because this guy, he's there. So a lot of these people we talk to, you know, they're opinion people. This guy was in the Oval Office for all of this stuff, okay? He's one of only three Trump advisors who was there from 2016, before he was president, through the end of 2021, and is still, you know, still talks to the president. He's got that insider perspective on everything that has happened, everything that's still going on, and it's such a great interview, and I'll tease this. He drops stuff in this interview that you, if you blow by it going 100 miles an hour, but he names names. Like, he just starts calling out Steve Mnuchin. These are people that are supposed to be his allies, and he starts saying people, this guy, this guy, this guy. They all turn their back on Trump. Stick around for that. That is at 1:22. Great stuff. And then Brad is going to give us a history lesson on something regarding World War I at 2:05, right?
Yeah, well, it's going to be like a history lesson / like historical metal lesson.
Sweet.
Because y'all like to make fun of my music.
No, I love it. I love it. And when you did that, I said, let's do that again. So okay. That's going to be a lot of fun and informative. And then some Black Friday tips for people who hate shopping. I want to share those with you, too. But here's the breaking news. Thank you for indulging me, and hopefully you'll come back if you're, you know, in and out of the car. That's great. The NFL and the Rams, or sorry, the owner, Stan Kroenke, and the city of St. Louis have come to a settlement. Have you heard this yet? Check out the Facebook page and like it. Brad's reminding me to do that, so I'm going to get that out of the way. But the breaking news is that Stan Kroenke and the city have come to a $790 million settlement.
So this is Kroenke, the NFL, and the city, right?
Yes. Yes, because the NFL is involved as a separate entity. That's right. And there's a lot going on there, too, because in my discovery of this story, it's not just the city of St. Louis that's going to get this money. It's the county. It's some other entity like the something bureau is going to get money. And, of course, the lawyers are going to get like 35% of this.
Right.
So when you first hear this, and Brad, you're a sports guy. You've probably been following this closer than I have, although I find this story fascinating.
Yeah.
When you hear $790 million is coming to the city of St. Louis, my first thought right out of the gate is, wow, that's a ton of money. Because this city is not exactly like, this isn't New York City. We have a budget, and we're in the hole, and I'll get into that in a second, but initial reaction, $790
million. $790 million on its face sounds like a lot, but it's significantly less than the billions that they were talking about as this was going on. But for me, like I guess the question was, because whenever our boss went by my office, he's like, do you think that's a win or do you think that's a loss? To me, I think it's a loss. I think that they had the NFL right where they – now – lawyers aren't going to settle for less than what they think that they can get. I understand that. But to me, I wanted this to go to trial. I wanted it to happen. I wanted the trial to happen because that's where the dirty laundry comes out. And then all that NFL dirty laundry becomes part of public record. Sometimes in a settlement, like,
everything
like
gets buried.
All the discovery, part of the settlement could be like, also, you get this $790 million, but none of this gets
released.
And
then you shut up.
Yeah, and then you shut up and go away. So that, to me, is the part that – because I feel like they did St. Louis dirty. I think the $790 million says that they did St. Louis dirty. Yeah, and they're not going to offer that money if they – you know, if they don't think that they're going to have to give a significant amount of money. So they're basically – in my thoughts, and I don't know this for sure because I don't know what the exact settlement is, it seems like they're settling to protect their information, to protect their books. Because if those books open up – then the NFLPA can look at that, and then whenever the next collective bargaining comes around, they're like, well, yeah, you said you make this money, but we saw how much money you're actually pulling in. And I think it would also hamstring them on being able to do this move type thing to another city, because I think they're trying to move or threatening to move the Bills out of Buffalo and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a tremendous amount of leverage. Whenever the discovery happens, this to me says that they wouldn't really have that leverage anymore because they'd be like, well, you know, you lost to St. Louis and you can't do that, so we'll take you to court and whoop you.
Well, that's an interesting point of view that I hadn't thought of because when you, as you're talking about those things, I'm thinking back to the concussion lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it was like 40 guys sued the NFL for brain trauma. And part of their settlement, these 40 guys, which is disgusting, but I also get where they're coming from. Their settlement was that nobody could sue the NFL for concussions anymore. Do you remember this?
I don't remember that settlement, but I'm not surprised.
I mean,
by
that,
it.
Yeah, that was part. Well, okay, we'll give you your money, but then we're protected from all future settlements because this one covers all of them. That was part of the settlement.
Oh man,
and that's the kind of thing the NFL does. And you're right. I think that's part of what the NFL is doing here. The numbers reported that the city was asking for were between $1 and $2 billion.
Wow.
So when you hear that number and you hear 790 million, you go, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is we did have them over a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to win this suit. So is it worth it to not have to go through all the litigation and maybe save some money there? I don't think you're going to save $700 million by not going through it.
Right.
So I view this kind of as a loss, but at the same time, it's still $790 million. And I just, for posterity, looked up, because this isn't all going to the city, right?
Right.
But I looked up to see how much the city of St. Louis is in debt. Want to guess?
Is it $790 million?
That's about double that. It's about $1.6
billion. Wow.
Which, to me, this was a blank check. You know, this was a credit card that you could just spend whatever you wanted now, get it, and go. They almost couldn't. Now, this money would have been split between different entities, so I get that you're not going to get the whole thing. But even setting that as a goal to say, look, we could actually get out of debt, like even from a PR standpoint.
Right.
Like everybody, we all rag on St. Louis. People who live in St. Louis rag on St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
They know the money is not being spent well. They know we're in debt. Every city across the United States that's a blue city is in terrible debt. This was an opportunity for the city leaders to say, look, they could blame the people before them, like every president mm-hmm. does. Look, the leadership in the past dug a huge hole for us. We're going to fix it. This may not fix 100% of it, but we're working on it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give confidence to businesses that are moving here that St. Louis is moving in the right direction, and this is the first step. I would have loved to seen that.
I would love to see that, but they're going to do with this money what Illinois did with the windfall profits that they had when they legalized marijuana.
Yep.
They didn't pay off any debt.
Nope.
They just spent more.
Yep, and that's nobody will even know where this money goes.
Right.
That's what's sad. And I think after it's all said and done, if I had to do the math off the top of my head, it'd be something like probably $200 million that ends up going to the city.
Mm-hmm.
But think if that was doubled, you know? I mean, that's a lot of money. And just the fiscal responsibility in me and I want to see confidence in the city. I'm not from St. Louis City. I'm from Illinois. I'm not even from the same state. But this is the economic engine for our region. And St. Louis is just in bad shape. I mean, we talked about defund the police. And we talked about all these things that Kim Gardner not prosecuting crime. Like, there's not a lot going on right now that gives people confidence in the city. The county's a different story. You go out further west, that's different. You go east into Illinois, that's different because it's a different state. Although we have the same mindset as a suburb, we're still in Illinois. But this, to me, overall, I don't want to say it's a loss because it is a gain for the city. But you walk away feeling a little bit like, well, we didn't get the NFL team either, which would kind of been fun. I don't know if I was rooting for that or not, but it was part of the discussion.
Right. And I guess my question for you then would be, too, how do you feel towards Stan Kroenke? Because if I remember correctly, and I don't know how this plays out on the NFL versus and Stan Kroenke end, he had agreed to incur all legal costs that they would have for this move. So this might be $790 million directly out of his pocket.
Yeah, that's fine. Although, again, I go back to, I think they could have gutted him.
That's savage, so, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they had him over a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
He knows it. That's why they're paying almost $800 million in a settlement, because they knew if they went to trial, they're going to lose.
Well, here's a fun fact for you. This $800 million wouldn't even pay for the new stadium that he built out in California. I think that I have the number $2 billion and the number $5 billion floating around in my head for how much that SoFi stadium cost out there.
No, you're right. It was in the billions for sure. But the other weird thing, and Kroenke's so rich that there's a fun fact floating around that this $790 million is actually more than some of the NFL owners are even worth. So that puts into perspective how much is coming out of his pocket.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big deal. So anyway, your thoughts, your comments, if you want to share them, we are live streaming today and we will be all day. And like I said, big show and some great information coming up next. Stick around. We're going to talk to Aaron Seary. He is a civil rights attorney. He is suing the FDA because, again, they're trying to keep vaccine information just on Pfizer from coming out until 2076. Based on his work, he is right at the heart of this thing. We may get to see it way earlier than that. Hopefully, maybe even next month if he wins the suit. Stick around. That's next on The Annie Fry Show. I'm Ryan Wiggins, in for Annie Fry.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. Find the podcast, on-demand audio, and more at 971talk.com/Annie.
Maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't. And maybe this stuff happens all the time, and I just happened to see this one. But the headline is, the FDA asks for federal judge to grant it until the year 2076 to fully release Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine data. So on the phone with us is Aaron Seery. He is a civil rights attorney. He's managing partner at Seery and Glimstead. Thank you so much for being here, Aaron.
My pleasure.
So break down this story, this headline for us. The FDA is going to a federal judge and asking that they don't have to release Pfizer's COVID-19 data until the year 2076. Sounds a little abnormal to me. Is this normal?
It's certainly not normal for something of this importance. The FDA has been telling us for the last 18 months that they're going to be transparent when it comes to the licensure of a COVID vaccine. Obviously, a number of folks have raised concerns about the speed and so forth at which that product was proceeding in terms of licensure, and the FDA, to assure the public, promised transparency. When Pfizer's vaccine was actually licensed, which is the first point in time that you can under the law, get a copy of the documents that the FDA would have received from Pfizer to license the product, a group of scientists from across the country, from the most prestigious universities in our country, and scientists and professors from the medical schools and related disciplines, they came together in a group, and they made a request to the FDA to release all of the documents that Pfizer provided the FDA to license its product. The FDA's own regulations say, quote unquote, that once the product is licensed, it should be, quote unquote, immediately released. But instead of the FDA providing these scientists copies of the documents provided by Pfizer, the FDA didn't give them a single page. 2 months passed, and we then brought a lawsuit on behalf of that group in federal court, demanding that these documents be produced to these scientists and turned to the public. The FDA from the time that it started getting the documents until it actually licensed the product, that was 108 days. And the FDA has assured us it conducted a thorough, intense, robust review of those documents. Surely that was, it took a Herculean effort, they say, to engage in that review. And they did it in 108 days. But their position in the lawsuit is that these same documents that they reviewed in 108 days to assure safety and efficacy and license this product, they now want to make the public wait over 20,000 days to fully release these documents. And, why is that important? Well, it's important because the scientific method involves peer review, independent assessments and reviews, replication. These scientists, they want to see the data. There have obviously been a lot of political pressure on the FDA. There's, at the end, that it's one group of scientists that looked at it there, and they would like to take a look at it. I'll add this one last point. I hope I'm not giving you too long of an answer.
No, you're good.
But and the last point is this. This is not just any product licensed by the FDA. This is the product that the FDA has said is the most important thing that they're going to focus on. And it's a product that the federal government is currently mandating millions of Americans to receive. And if they don't, they lose their jobs. They can be kicked out of school. They could be separated from the military. In some cities, you can't even go into restaurants without receiving this product. And so, and additionally, the federal government has also granted Pfizer complete immunity from any liability for injuries caused by their product. You cannot sue Pfizer if you are injured by the Pfizer vaccine. And so, again, this is not, like any other product. This product also has an important nexus with civil and individual rights. And so the urgency and the need to get this data to these hands of these independent scientists so they can also take a look at it is critical and important. And so to answer your question, this is unprecedented. I think the FDA should stick with what it told the public. It's going to be transparent and release these documents right away, not try to hold on to them for the next 55 years before fully releasing them.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, just the last point you made there, it really is shocking. This is something that we've never experienced in our lifetimes, maybe in American history, that everybody in America is being forced on some level to do this, and yet they're trying to block the release of data on this. I mean, that's incredible. And the headline that I've seen that is getting all the attention is how long they're asking, till the year 2076. But my question is why that Pfizer would want to protect their data, because they're a company and they want to shield themselves as much as possible. I don't like that they would do that, but it seems like logical that they would want to do that. Why, though, the FDA? Why would the FDA want to shield Pfizer from releasing this data?
It's a great question. Why would the FDA want to grant Pfizer immunity from liability for any injuries from its product? Why is the federal government, engage and do some of the things they do? I could only speculate, which I always prefer not to, but and I say that this is obviously speculation, but the FDA has come out even before licensure and was promoting this product, right? In many ways, the FDA is supposed to just assure safety and efficacy. It's not supposed to promote the products. It's supposed to be deciding whether they're safe and effective, right? That mm-hmm. that creates a structural conflict. It has now hitched its reputation to some degree on this product, right? After going out and telling everybody to get it, after being part of the government mechanism that's mandating people to get it, if it turns out there's a problem with this product, whose reputation does that harm? It harms the reputation of the FDA. There are a lot of drugs out there that we view beneficial to society, statins, right, which are for, heart to help people avoid heart attacks, cardiovascular issues, heart attacks, number one killer of Americans, right? Mm-hmm. But, when it comes to taking statins, basically a form of heart medicine, for lack of a better term, The FDA has no problem criticizing statins. The public has no problem criticizing statins. The media doesn't. And I think part of the reason that is because the FDA doesn't promote statins. It doesn't mandate statins. It doesn't stake its reputation behind that drug. And so it's able to impartially conduct its regulatory functions. But when the government gets involved in coercing a medical product, when it gets involved in putting its reputation behind it, encouraging it, basically becoming the public relations arm of Pfizer for this product to a degree, that does create a structural conflict. May or may not have played into this. I could only speculate.
Aaron Seery is on the phone with us. He's a civil rights attorney. Now, who exactly are you suing, the FDA or Pfizer here?
We are suing the FDA.
Okay.
Because it's the Freedom of Information Act and the applicable regulation I mentioned earlier. They permit getting documents from the federal government. The whole point of that law is transparency. So, yes, we're suing the FDA.
So what are the possible outcomes? What's the best possible outcome for you and for transparency here? How quickly could we see this data?
I mean, I think the best possible outcome for the American public and for everybody in America who is subject to receiving this vaccine, and certainly those who might suffer an adverse event who can't sue Pfizer, and certainly to potentially address some issues, legitimate issues that have been raised by scientists across the country, the best outcome is the outcome that we've asked the judge for. And what we've asked the judge in the case is this. We have taken the position that if the FDA can review this data set in 108 days and conduct the thorough, intense review it claims that it did, it should be able to produce these documents in no more than 108 days to the public. So our hope is that the judge agrees with my client's position that 108 days is the maximum amount of time, not the 20,000 plus days the FDA wants. We have a court hearing in the middle of December, and we'll get a sense of what the judge's views are on that. We'll be engaged in briefing before that, so time will tell.
Aaron Seery, thank you so much for your time and all this information this morning. Hopefully you can keep us updated on where things go after December, too.
Sounds great.
Wiggins America, 97.1 FM Talk. Great interview there. If you just tuned in the middle, that's Aaron Seery. He's a civil rights attorney who is suing the FDA for basically freedom of information because they're blocking all the data on the vaccine, on Pfizer's vaccine. I'm telling you, these guys are all in cahoots. If you look at the people who worked at the FDA within the last several years, they're the same as the CEOs of Pfizer and vice versa. I mean, they're almost like the same organization, and it's really disgusting to see the government using its power to force the entire population of the country to basically take a product that they're in cahoots with. That's what's going on here. So if you missed some of that interview, or if you just tuned in just now and you want to hear it, rewind on the Odyssey app or get the podcast. We'll have that up at the end of this hour, hopefully by right at the end of this show. And speaking of the end of this show, Peter Navarro, former assistant to President Trump, is coming up. 97.1 FM Talk.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at
at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hang on a second. Sorry. Breaking news. The verdict in the Ahmaud Arbery case is breaking right now. We're not going to go to break yet. Let's go to that live, Brad. They're handing the papers to the sheriff, I believe, who's going to read the verdict. Apparently, there are a lot of papers.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and address each one of these verdict forms separately. First verdict form I have is the state of Georgia versus Travis McMichael. Mr. McMichael, please stand. Verdict is as follows. In the Superior Court of Glynn County, State of Georgia, the State of Georgia versus Travis McMichael, case number CR000433. Jury verdict form. Count one, malice murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. I'm going to ask that whoever just made an outburst be removed from the court, please.
Oh, God.
So they're removing.
As this court has indicated, right, I ask that there be no outbursts in the court, and I expect as much from the gallery. Please respect the court's desire for this as we move forward. If you feel like you need to make a comment or otherwise demonstrate with respect to the verdict, I do ask that you step out of the courtroom now. Count two, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count three, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count four, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count five, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count six, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count seven, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count eight, false imprisonment. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count nine, criminal attempt to commit a felony. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Dated this 24th day of November, 2021, signed by the foreperson. Have a seat. As to Gregory McMichael.
So that was all for Travis McMichael.
In the Superior Court of Glynn County, the State of Georgia versus Greg McMichael. case number CR 2000433. Jury verdict form. Count one, malice murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, not guilty. Count two, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count three, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count four, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count five, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count six, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count seven, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count eight, false imprisonment. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count nine, criminal attempt to commit a felony. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. This 24th day of November, 2021, signed by the foreperson. As to William R. Bryan. In the Superior Court of Glynn County, State of Georgia, State of Georgia versus William R. Bryan, case number CR 2000433, jury verdict form. Count one, malice murder. We, the jury, find the defendant William R. Bryan not guilty. Count two, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant William R. Bryan not guilty. Count three, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant William R. Bryan guilty. Count four, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant William R. Bryan guilty. Count five, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant William R. Bryan guilty. Count six, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant William R. Bryan not guilty. Count seven, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant William R. Bryan guilty. Count eight, false imprisonment. We, the jury, find the defendant William R. Bryan guilty. Count nine, criminal attempt to commit a felony. We, the jury, find the defendant William R. Bryan guilty. Signed this 24th day of November by the foreperson. Go ahead and have a seat.
Okay. Well, there it is.
Court having.
So we'll move away from it now. The summary is Travis McMichael, the youngest of the three, guilty on all counts, including malice murder, criminal contempt, felony murder, multiple charges on those things. Gregory McMichael, not guilty on malice murder, and I believe the same for William Bryan Jr., but guilty on multiple counts of felony murder, aggravated assault, and then William Bryan Jr., felony murder, aggravated assault as well. So I don't know, Brad, just real quick to summarize this case. Certainly, this is not the same as a Kyle Rittenhouse. People are trying to compare the two just because they're both the most recent. They're not. They're
no,
not the same.
No, the circumstances were way different. Way, way, way different in these two.
And what I've seen from this one is a little bit of the left trying to say, oh, well, we lost the Rittenhouse one, but we'll win this one. There's no winner in this. Nobody disagrees with these counts. So this one has not been a political trial, and rightfully so. I personally don't follow a lot of these sort of individual criminal trials for this very reason. I actually trust the process, and it seems to me like the process works.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of looking at. I was looking at, and so like Travis McMichael, I'm assuming, is the one that pulled the trigger. And so
yeah. He
is the one that was guilty on all counts.
Yep.
And it looks to me like the jury took each count into individual consideration
and
ruled on it, because the other two defendants were not found guilty on some of the same things.
Right, on some of them.
Like the other two were not found guilty on the malice murder.
Right, and then some counts of felony murder and some counts of aggravated assault, because there were several. So anyway, that's the summary of what's happened. It looks like justice is served, and there you go. So we'll keep following this. If anything more comes out, we'll let you know. Mark Cox is going to join us next on an update on the first responder Thanksgiving winner. Looking forward to that. Mark Cox coming up next here on the Annie Fry Show.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Yeah. host a local event, and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. Follow Annie on Twitter at Annie Fry Show.
Who's picking the bump music, Brad? What in the world are we listening to? Can't say I don't enjoy it, but what is it? Wait, where did it go?
I'm sorry, I just turned it down. That's Rocky Top by Conway Twitty.
Ah, Conway Twitty. All right. Well, if you are just tuning in, the Ahmaud Arbery case, the verdict is in. All three men have been found guilty on murder charges. Mark Cox is on the phone with us. Mark, I am putting you on the spot a little bit since this just happened, but have you been following this case at all?
Well, I just tuned in as you carried the live verdict there a minute ago. You know, like most Americans, Ryan, I was paying a lot more attention to the written case when, and only really tuned in the last few days. I didn't watch nearly as much of the testimony as the other. But two very different cases, as you and Brad discussed earlier, and I don't think anybody will be surprised by the verdict today. Regardless of what they believe this kid might have been guilty of, chasing him down the street and confronting him with a shotgun was probably never a good idea. And I don't think anybody will be surprised at what happened.
No, and I haven't really even seen anybody trying to defend these guys either. So this just looks like it's a murder case, and these guys are guilty of murder, and they're going to jail. So let's talk about something that's a little bit better news. We're going into a Thanksgiving holiday, and it's the reason that you're calling, First Responder Thanksgiving. You guys have a winner, right?
We have a winner, yeah. In fact, we've been raising money all month, starting on the 2nd of November, and I didn't quite know what to expect. We were raffling off a rifle. For Responder Rescue, they're the ones holding the raffle. The range St. Louis West donated the rifle, about $1,500 worth of gun there, because it had a nice optic on it, and it's a nice Sig Sauer rifle. And we really didn't know what to expect, Ryan. I set a goal of $5,000, and we blew through that pretty quickly. So we increased it to $15,000, and today we discovered that out of the goodness of their hearts, our listeners donated $25,000.
Wow.
For this raffle. We raised $25,140. The folks at the range presented the check a little earlier, right around noon, to my friends at Responder Rescue. They use that money to help out first responders who are in a bad spot, medical bills they can't pay because of an injury, PTSD, stuff like that, extra stuff that they didn't expect. They step in, they pay the bills. So I was happy we could help. And congratulations to Ralph. I won't say his last name. He knows who he is. We've already contacted him. Ralph from Fenton, Missouri, had the winning ticket that was drawn out of a bucket. And he's going to get to go up there next week sometime after the holiday and pick up his new rifle. So thrilled that we could do it. And thank you for giving me some time on Annie's show today to announce it.
Yeah, I love Trisha texted me and said, that we get to celebrate the Range Responder Rescue Rifle Raffle rewardee, whose name is Ralph. So
nice.
Thought that was very well put. So $25,000 to Responder Rescue. Was this all through people just buying raffle tickets, or did you have donors or what?
The tickets were $10 a piece. And, you know, we told people, buy one, or if you buy five, you'll get an extra one. And, I mean, there were days when one guy bought $1,000 worth of tickets.
Wow.
And I don't know if he's the one that won or not. I don't know how many tickets Ralph bought. But, you know, the way those things go is usually the person that spends the least amount is the one that wins. But it was all a donation because the rifle was donated by the range. So every dime we raised is all going to the charity. And it speaks to the big heart that people have for their first responders in St. Louis.
Yeah, that's great. So thanks to everybody who bought a ticket, and thanks to the range. And thank you, Mark Cox, for putting this thing together.
Happy as I can be, because I wanted to make sure at the end of the month we had something to show for it. And this just fills my heart with joy. We'll have a lot to be thankful for tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark Cox, thank you so much for updating us, and thank you for what you do every morning here on 97.1.
All right, Ryan, thank you. Brad, you guys have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too, sir. So just a little tease again that we talked about before. Quite a bit still coming up here on The Annie Fry Show. Ryan Wiggins is my name. I'm filling in. You probably know me from The Annie Fry Show and also from Wiggins America here on the weekends. But right after the break here, we're going to talk to Trent Luce. He is a rancher. He is an advocate for basically like homegrown everything. And I mentioned him before, and I said every time I talk about him, he almost sounds like a hippie. He's not. He's just a homegrown guy, and he's an advocate for people who do that and own farms and own ranches. He's going to join us right after the break here and talk about what we talked about over the summer, which is that China is attempting to buy as much American land as they can. Now, there's been a little bit of a focus on this, not a ton, but a little bit. So there's been legislation that's been kind of moving its way through Congress. Some people are very excited that it's happening. Other people are skeptical that it's actually going to do anything, like that's people just kind of putting on a show and saying, yeah, we're going to handle it. It's not really going to do anything. I want to get an update on that story next because I think it's very, very important. One of the things that he dropped last time, too, is that all pigs in the United States, 25% of them now are owned by Chinese companies. And he said, these are big problems when your animals that are your food are owned by your adversary. That is not a way to go. So we're going to get updated on all of that next right here on The Annie Fry Show after the 1 o'clock break here. And then right after that, really do stick around. I interviewed Peter Navarro last week. Advisor to the president, again, one of only three advisors to President Trump who was there from the beginning in 2016 all the way to the end. He was in the Oval Office for all these meetings with the Faucis and the FDAs during 2020. He just released a book on specifically how 2020 played out. And Fauci yesterday, believe it or not, was trashing Peter Navarro because Peter Navarro is out there trashing him. So we're going to play that sound. We're going to play that interview from Peter Navarro and stick around for it because he names names in that thing and ones that you would think are allies. I specifically remember in talking to him, he mentioned Steve Mnuchin, names that you see on Fox News all the time and says, these guys, basically they're snakes. Stick around for that. That's coming up at about 1:25, 1:30 here on The Annie Fry Show. Lots ahead here on the day before. It's Thanksgiving Eve. Thanks for spending it here on 97.1. Ryan Wiggins in, Brad Range. Lots more to come here on The Annie Fry Show.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.